In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness, and we are just tickled pink that you have joined us on the Holderness Family Podcast.
I'm going to set a boundary around tickling because I despise being tickled.
So here's the question. Is that the right kind of boundary to set? Well, we're going to be exploring that and a few other issues today with Dr. Abby Metcalf. We're very excited because haven't you guys heard people say boundaries a lot in the last few years?
So it's a little bit of a buzzword. But first, before we get to that important conversation, visit theholdernessfamily.com and join our newsletter to stay tuned for all of our exciting projects. We have new merchandise in our shop. Plus, we're about to, I'm going to use my words now, we're going to be announcing a new game,
yay,
which if you're a subscriber of the newsletter, you got like
a special access
to pre-order, and our book both available on pre-sale soon. Very exciting, especially, I mean, the game's amazing, and it's so funny, our kids play it, and they said, they asked to play it again, and they said, this one is actually fun. I'm like, dude, the last one was fun too.
Was it?
No,
I think it was.
It was super fun.
But I will say this one, the last one was super fun. This one is made for a slightly older audience, and our kids are slightly older.
Right.
So that made me feel good that it worked. Lola actually said, I'm proud of you guys
making
this game.
And when a 16-year-old tells you she's proud.
I feel like we should celebrate that as a victory.
Yes. And the book, I think, is going to be so important. I'm so proud of Penn. So anyway, that's enough kind of self-promotion there.
But today, let's do it like Delicious Dish. Today's topic,
boundaries.
Yeah, I can.
I'm laughing now, but Dr. Abby Metcalf, who we're going to introduce in a second, basically, if you listen to her podcast, you read her blog, you listen to her content, the solve for every problem is boundaries. Like, your husband doesn't pick up his stuff, it's boundaries. It's boundaries are the reason.
But here's the thing. I don't know what a boundary is. I think I know it, but we use the term so much. She's here to help us explain that.
Okay. Dr. Abby Metcalf is a psychologist, author, speaker with over 30 years of hands-on experience. Armed with humor, research, and expertise, she teaches simple, actionable tools and strategies that you can use to improve your everyday life.
Dr. Abby Metcalf has been featured on ABC, CBS, CNBC, The Huffington Post, and Women's Health. She is the host of the Relationships Made Easy podcast, and her latest book, Boundaries Made Easy, Your Roadmap to Connection, Ease, and Joy, is available now. Welcome, Dr. Abby Metcalf. Welcome to the show, Dr. Metcalf.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
You are going to solve all of our relationship problems.
That's right.
I am.
Yeah, just in a quick 35 minutes. Because apparently every issue we have is because we have failed to make some boundaries.
And potentially one of the issues is I hear this term all the time and I hear boundaries. People say boundaries all the time. I don't know if I have a full grasp on what it means. It gets used so much.
Yep. Most people don't. Most people think when they tell someone, oh, I didn't like that you said that to me, please don't do that anymore, you know, please don't talk to me that way anymore, it's not a boundary. That's just saying how you feel. Saying how you feel is very nice, but a boundary has to have an action, it has to have what I call teeth. It has to have something on the other side. So this isn't a plug, but in my book, I go through like how to make boundaries, you know, all the little three-step process. It's not as hard as you think, but it's really important to know what kind of your deal breakers are, I call them, right? Before, you know, before Liz Lemon.
Right. Yes. That's a great
record.
Great, yeah. It's a 30 Rock.
First.
30. Oh, you had this before 30 Rock?
Oh,
you had deal breakers? Okay.
Oh, yeah. 30 Rock. Yeah.
I'm older than her. Yeah. So, but beyond that, you know, this idea of really what it is that we need, not what we want. And what I find is that people start complaining about what they want because their needs aren't getting met. So you start complaining about the sock on the floor or snoring at night or whatever else, because your need, you're feeling valued, feeling heard, feeling seen, feeling appreciated, whatever that is, isn't being met. Mm-hmm. And then you start complaining about what you want. I want you to put the toilet seat up, and I want the top on the toothpaste, and I want you to clean out the sink, you know, that stuff. On the list that all of us make of our dream partner, no one has mowed the lawn well. No one cares. No one has wiped the counters of all the jelly. Like, that is not right. It's what I want to feel cherished. I want to feel adored. I want to feel these things. That's what we want.
So,
but we complain about the other.
So give me an example then. We'll just use our marriage as an example.
Sure, that's what we do. This is free therapy.
This podcast is just so we can get free therapy.
That's right.
I would say we really do have a very strong marriage. Our core foundation is very good, but we do have issues, and centering around he's very ADHD. He has a very creative brain, and he just does not see. Or it is not as important to him. He can be very productive in a house that's pretty messy, or untidy. Not like it's not a slob, but he can exist well in untidiness. I don't know what it is about me, but I do not. I cannot be creative, and I cannot exist in untidiness. And so, how is that? Like, so then, what's my my boundary is you have to clean up after yourself. That's not right. Like, that's not I'm not saying you're right. So what is this?
Well, I would even say that's like a step back from boundaries. That's a step back to really what we need. So what's happening is you're describing that in your head as something that Penn is not doing. So that's what we do. We tend to do. It means he doesn't appreciate me. He doesn't think what's important to me isn't important to him. He doesn't hear me when I say, right? Isn't that the internal dialogue somewhere? Because we're assigning meaning to what someone else is doing. Mm-hmm. That I know, I can look at Penn now, and I've seen your stuff for years. He only wants to please you. There's no bone in his body that's like, oh my God, I am waking up. I'm choosing violence today with Jim. Like, I am going for her, right? There's no, and most of our men do not want that.
Right.
They really are looking to please us. So you have to step back and go, why am I assigning this meaning to that? Why am I going there? And I go to a totally different place. I'm like, if you want to clean, I'd hire a cleaning person more times a week. We look to our partners often, and this is, I get like was my TED talk. Like, we look to our partners when something needs to happen in the house, we look to our partners to fix it. To like, if we can't do it, we're like, well, you have to, you know, that's pulling your weight, and that's, you know, doing your fair share, and that's whatever. And what happens is we think our partners can take things off our plate, but it's the same plate. Mm-hmm. So when we're draining our partner, we're draining ourselves. And when we're drained, they're drained. Like, it's a shared battery. So you always want to look for resources outside the couple to bring in, as opposed to looking to your partner to do something they quote unquote should do. I always say, do you want to be correct or effective?
That's all great advice. And I think you make some really good points about the shared battery. I think just making an effort sometimes helps. It doesn't mean that you're going to always get to what it is that person wants or expects.
Yep.
I still don't know how to create a boundary.
Yeah, what's the name of
like,
it?
Yes. I know you said there's three steps and that you didn't want to plug your book. I want you to plug the crap out of your book.
Okay. Yeah, but just tell me the three steps.
Yeah, like I would love to know.
Three steps are basically that you're identifying what your deal breakers are. Mm-hmm. And again, I go through a whole process of that because it's not so easy as, you know, I want whatever. You really have to think about when something is missing. You know what your deal breakers are, because when it's not there, you've left a relationship or a job or something. Like, there's that one thing that broke the camel's back, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And that's really where your deal breakers lie. And then from there, you create your standards. What are my standards? Well, I have a standard that my partner treats me with, appreciates me on a daily basis. Maybe that's a standard you have. Standards are never goals. They're never like, my partner cleans up after, notices the mess, mm-hmm. you know, every day. That's like a goal. And by the way, that's on your partner, not you. So it doesn't really work. But the standards are really about, I'm treated with respect. Yeah. Each day. And you have to decide what respect means. You know, you have to decide what these things mean. And that's where the meaning comes in. That can get weird. Mm-hmm. And then the third part is the teeth. If this isn't met, I'm going to have a response, not a consequence, because this isn't about punishing people. That's a wall, not a boundary. Boundaries are meant to keep people in and walls are meant to keep people out. When we put up a wall, when we cut people off, when we, you know, unfollow them, when we whatever, we're looking to keep them out. Well, our partners, mostly we're looking to keep them in, right? We want to draw them towards us, not out. And so we want to have boundaries are, I always say they're love because they are. So there's that space there of, to me, this piece with the, like, not cleaning, yeah. you know, or not noticing, you know, when he does stuff is really about a problem solving between the couple. So that might be the boundary that we problem solve this until we figure it out together. That, you know, I have a boundary that we need to problem solve this. You know, that's my boundary that we problem solve. When things come up, they're not a you problem, they're a we problem, and we're going to figure it out. And if that doesn't happen, then, and you have to decide what the then would be. What would the teeth be?
Hey, hang in there. We're going to be right back. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
You know, Kim, I feel like around New Year's, we get kind of obsessed about how to change yeah. ourselves instead of just expanding on what we're already doing right.
I'm really proud of the work I've put into healthier habits in the last few months, and I'm planning on sticking with it.
And you know, therapy helps you find your strengths so that you can ditch the extreme resolutions and make changes that really stick.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It is entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist at any time for no additional charge.
Celebrate the progress you've already made.
Visit BetterHelp.com/Holderness to get 10% off your first month.
That is BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. .com/Holderness.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So what are some examples? Because obviously, you know, I only ask this because I've been aware, I'll just say through like friends, relationships, those sort of like kind of being on the outside, I've heard some friends say, well, I'm putting a boundary around this. And it's made yes. something off limits that is a really critical part of their relationship, I would think.
Uh-huh.
So yep. what is it? So so maybe that's more of a wall like you were talking about.
Yes.
But tell me, like, what are some examples of really healthy boundaries that really will mm-hmm. improve a relationship?
Right. You know, I'm thinking right now, just literally this happened the other day. I had a client whose partner kept talking to her about her weight. And, you know, that sometimes, and granted, she was complaining about it. So he was trying to be helpful. And, you know, and this had become part of their relationship, you know, where she would gain a little weight and he would talk, you know, and there was a thing. So yeah. She ended up, of course, feeling like he doesn't find me sexy unless I'm 10 pounds thinner, and he doesn't want to have sex with me unless I'm this, which I always say men always want to have sex with you. Like, that's not, that's not the problem. But
that's correct.
That's correct. Yes. So I talked to her about it. I was like, well, you need to have a boundary around this, right? And so first of all, you want to always state your boundaries. They shouldn't be like secret. It's not right. A secret, right? And so she was very clear with him and said, you know, for now on in the relationship, my weight isn't a topic, and I'm going to do my best not to mention it, you know, also, because I talked to her, I was like, well, you got to stop talking about it then. But so do not give helpful suggestions. Do not talk to me about it. Nothing. I only want to feel that you love and support me no matter what I'm doing. And she said, or I'm going to say something, you know, that's usually our first boundary, right? That we're going to say something. And if I'll remind you of the boundary, and I always tell people only remind of a boundary once, that's it. Do not keep reminding. Because what happens, you know, let's say in this situation, right, this person says this, and then her husband goes, you know, says, oh, you sure you want a second helping? Right.
Ooh. Yeah.
And she says, you know, I told you that that's not okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
That what happens is then the person will say, oh, I'm so sorry, you know?
Well, you hope they apologize. I mean, I'm just-
You hope, yeah. Right? Yeah, it's true. But. Or oh, that's not part of the boundary, whatever they might say. So the problem is when we remind people, they just, that cycle continues and they go, oh, I'm sorry. Or, oh, I didn't mean it. And then we stay there. So her boundary was, I'm going to leave the room.
Okay.
When that happens.
So that's,
I'm going to like have a timeout for myself, not, you know, just to make sure I'm in a good headspace. I don't get really mad at you. I'm going to leave the room every time. Anytime that happens. And she actually extended this to her family, to other people. She did a really good job with it. And that's what you do. So when that happens, you leave.
Yeah.
If you don't have a response, then then that cycle continues of people saying, oh, oops, you know, my bad. And then it just keeps happening. The behavior doesn't go away. And so you want the behavior to go away.
And I would imagine if it's some, because I do know there are people in my life who are always looking to, you know, get in better shape, and they talk about it a lot. So I imagine that in that relationship, it probably was just very common to be a conversation. Yes. So that would require some adjustment that wouldn't be.
Yes.
Yeah.
So does a healthy relationship exist where do you need to have an equal number of boundaries between the two people, or what if one person has like a lot more boundaries than the other person?
Go ahead.
I just don't have. I'm
just thinking. I'm like, what are our boundaries? I don't know.
I think you're gonna have more boundaries than
I just don't know. I think.
Let's do it right now. She's here. Let's do it right now. She could tell us if they're good boundaries or not.
But I'm worried. So you know we do have a boundary. We don't talk about work in the evening.
No.
There you go.
That's your boundary.
Oh, that is my boundary. That's my boundary.
I don't care if we talk about work in the evening. I don't like to hear it the minute my eyes open.
Yeah. So
in the morning.
Yes. So.
So we got that.
So he used to bring up work stuff right before bed, and it used to stress me out. And then, conversely, I have more energy in the morning. And so I'm like, okay, hey, babe. And so I was attacking him in the morning.
So
now we chill.
Dr. Abby, literally the first thing she used to say when I woke up in the morning.
And
it's
then?
So funny. It's, and then. Like, I don't know what the first part of the sentence was. And I understand. Like, we work really hard. And she works incredibly hard. And she gets the hamster wheel going in the morning. A lot of times I keep it running at night. But it is funny that, like, I'll open my eyes and hear, and then?
And then? I'm mid-sentence already. But
we did create a boundary there.
Okay, so that's a boundary. Yeah. That's a boundary.
And that you keep, and that is healthy. And so, but I would say, again, it's, like, to me, your goal, your standard is to feel calm in your home.
Yeah.
And one of the ways, you know, to feel connected to your partner, to feel, because working together, I have so many couples I work with who work together. Like it.
That's why God they're bless. Coming to you.
Yeah.
God bless. I did a whole episode on it on the podcast because it's such a thing, you know, especially since the pandemic, it's even more common. But to have those boundaries, to me, do need to be a little more black and white than a lot of boundaries are. You know, like, we're not speaking about work between this and this or whatever. I have the same thing with my, because I come home after talking all day to clients.
Yeah.
And poor Gary, he's like, you know, I'm like, you know, my kids too. I don't want to talk to anybody for a little while.
Yeah.
And so they know I come in the house and I go change and wash my face. I have a little thing I do to create a to create, but I've said it like, yeah, don't talk to me. And they know.
Yeah.
Right. But if someone started to talk to me in that moment, I would say it's not time. And I would just walk away. Yeah. I wouldn't explain it.
Can you zoom out, since you have a good grip on this? We mentioned all of the places where you've talked about this, and you've talked to broad audiences about this. So I'm guessing you can tell us like maybe three of the more popular good boundaries and maybe a couple of the bad boundaries that people tend to create.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, people tend to say, well, that's my boundary now. And it's in a pushback.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that is your first mistake. Let me just say maybe what the mistakes are too it. It shouldn't be angry. Boundaries shouldn't be angry. We normally are angry at others. If you're feeling resentful or angry, resentful is the biggie of someone else. It's because you don't have a boundary clear. It means that you didn't draw a boundary and you're expecting someone else to keep a boundary when you're not keeping your own. And that's what I hear more than ever. Oh, he trampled my boundary. Well, that's not about someone else trampling it. It's you not holding it. So if you say this thing, I'm going to walk out, then you need to walk out no matter what, no matter how much they apologize, no matter how much it again, and don't walk out in a huff. You know, it's to save the relationship. It's to feel good about yourself. Mm-hmm. It's to feel like you follow through on something you said. It's a commitment you made and you're following through. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that I think is the biggie, that people think they're making boundaries and they're not. They're just saying what they'd like or wish, or saying what they're mad about. So when you stop and really think about a calm home, like for you, I actually think that I have teenagers, you know, that to me is my top priority, that we have a home that's filled with laughter and calm. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always measuring against that boundary as things come in or out, like what the kids sign up for, how many activities we have, right? All those kinds of things you have to really think about. But so that would be sort of big picture stuff. But I think in the small picture, it's people say a hard no. You know, that's a hard no. That's a hard no. And Gay Hendricks is a wonderful author. He calls it, instead of a hard no, is all that defensiveness. You know, like I'm pushing back on you because I don't feel like I can hold my boundaries. So I'm getting so like a wall. And instead, he calls it an enlightened no. You know, when you have an enlightened no, it's from love. It's from alignment. It's an aligned no. Mm-hmm. You know what? That doesn't serve me to have you talk about my weight all the time. I end up feeling resentful and angry and bad about myself and upset and whatever. So I am now going to make that clear that can't happen anymore. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. If let's say you're having an argument, you know that same argument everyone has, you know? In the relationship,
I do everything and you do nothing.
Yeah, there you go. That's pretty much a common one. So for that, you know, people would say, "Well, my boundary for like right when you have that argument, what's your boundary?" And really, the reason you're saying I do everything and you do nothing isn't because of the doing; it's because that thing that you need, that deal breaker, isn't being met somehow. I feel very cherished in my relationship. I feel very safe. Okay. That's like something we've worked out after years together that I feel really cherished. So when Gary leaves some whiskers in the sink, even though I've asked him to please rinse that more thoroughly a few times, because I am like, I need things a little much cleaner than he does. I don't take that as he doesn't appreciate me. Because I feel cherished all the time. So the whiskers in the sink don't have the same meaning for me. Does that make sense? Like we stop worrying so much about it.
So if the fight, I'm trying to engineer this here. So if the fight and somebody who's listening, an issue that's coming up in their relationship is one of the partners says, I do everything, you do nothing. Mm-hmm. What is what are the words? We love a script here. We love specific scripts.
I'm there.
What is the script that person should be saying.
Implying.
Implying.
What do we do?
What do we do? No, what just do like, do? Because it's obviously, so what, you know, it's about like what you need to feel, not what this person is doing. So what are the words we can create around that?
Yeah. Yeah. So right there, again, and what do we usually do when someone says that? We deny it, rebut it, and give a list of all the things we do. Yes?
I mean, right.
That's how we do that. So first things first, it doesn't matter what the objective truth that you have is. It's that this person does feel that. So the first reaction, so number one, say yes first. Wow. That's, oh my gosh, that feels like a lot. Let's stop for a second. Let me hear it. Does it feel like I do nothing here? Like nothing, like not a thing? But you have to be curious. That's rule number one. Mm-hmm. You have to truly be curious. Is that really how it feels to this person? Because we have a bigger problem. What 99.9% of the time happens, because the person is, we call this making a bid. They're looking for this attention at this issue to feel more cherished, to feel more seen, to feel more heard, to feel more appreciated. So they make blanket, you know, generalized statements. Of course, the other person doesn't do nothing, and they know that.
Right.
So generally, when you stop the conversation right there and say, is that, and from a heart, from a loving heart, is that really how it feels here? They will 99% of the time say, well, not nothing. Mm-hmm. All right. So, and it's always about questions, not statements. I have a thing, don't sack, S-A-C. Don't offer suggestions, give advice, or criticize. Instead, you want to ask questions. Tell me more, my favorite question. Tell me more about that. So tell me more. How does it feel? Lean in. Don't lean out. Don't rebut. Don't say it's not true. Don't make statements. Don't, you know, offer, well, you need to do this then. You know, don't. Mm-mm. Just ask curious questions. I call them collaborative questions. Tell me more about what it feels like in the house to you. And then you've got this person talk, well, I just feel overwhelmed and I'm cooking all the meals and I'm taking, you know, the kids and I have to worry. Johnny was up with a fever last night and I had to make sure there was Tylenol in the house. You know, all the emotional labor. It's usually women saying these things. Usually, not always. I've had men say them. But to hear that and to have empathy, you know, to then be able to have empathy, like, oh my gosh, this person I love feels completely overwhelmed. Now, so what can we do to make this better? What we, not you, not me, we, like, what would help? What would be to you, like, the if I could say one thing right now that would make you feel like things have changed, what would it be? And I will tell you, and I've done this in session 1,000 times with couples, and often it's the wife, and she'll say, I just need to hear that's going to be okay. Mm. Or that you've got my back. Or that, you know, you're going to help me through this and I'm not alone. And then men have a place to, men love a target. Am I right, Pat? You guys love a target.
Yes.
You guys love when we give you, do this right here. Here's a target. What usually happens is that men clean up after dinner, right? They're like, oh, my wife is sick. She went to bed. I'm going to take care of the kids. I'm going to clean up after dinner. I'm going to take care of you. Then the wife comes down in the morning and there's jelly left on the counter. And you know how there's one of the pots isn't really clean.
Yes, I do.
You don't have to, you're like, how did you miss that? Right. And then there's a thing, and then it's like, you know, you said you were going to clean up, and I'm sick, and now I'm cleaning up the kitchen, you know, to get it ready. You didn't put away all the stuff. And then the men go, ugh, no matter what I do, it's never enough. Why do I even try? Like, or the target always moves. That's what I hear from men a lot, not always. And so, again, we start to back up a little and think, what could I ask here that could make this better? I had a couple the other night, the wife went up and woke up the husband because he forgot to put away the dishes again. That was their deal. That's their boundary, right? You put away the dishes at night. I wake up in the morning. I take care of the kids and there's a clean runway. She was furious, ran up the stairs like, you effing this. And what is wrong with, you know? And I said to her, I know this is hard, but he didn't do it on purpose. He still needs to do it. Don't get me wrong. This isn't like, you know, oh, never mind. Men can't do everything. It's about, though, I said, what if you had crawled in bed and said, I am at the end of my rope. I am so sad, frustrated, and overwhelmed right now because the dishes weren't done last night. I need to know, what do we have to do to change this? Because I need a clear runway in the morning. Like, what has to happen? And there's a different energy there to problem solve.
So it sounds like boundaries, when I hear it as the buzzword, it sounds very firm and aggressive, but really yes. Boundaries are an act of kindness.
They are.
And they can
they
be.
They are.
Yeah, it's an act of kindness.
Yeah, it also seems like, so you used a lot of references that we learned in our book. You used empathy, you used tell me more, you used I hear you, you diffuse the situation in a certain way, and you also used I feel, right? Like those are kind of the cornerstones of the book that we wrote. I just don't know that we ever used the term boundary afterwards. So the boundary, so I need the target, right? I'm the guy with the target.
Yep.
In that example that you just gave, the guy, he's supposed to do all the dishes. The boundary is, if I'm hearing you correctly, he's going to do this job or else his wife is going to wake him up prematurely in the morning. Is that correct?
No.
Okay. See? Yeah, sorry.
It's okay. I think that he's going to do this job and that we understand that it's very hard. Like, to me, this wouldn't be a boundary you would draw, by the way.
I wanted examples.
Yeah, exactly.
What is a
boundary is when I'm upset with you, I don't scream at you.
Mm, okay.
See, that's not what I expected. And that's interesting.
Yeah. It's a rule you have in the house. Like, you clean dishes at night. We don't talk about work. Right. To me, those aren't boundaries.
Those are secret contracts. Yeah. Those are things we like.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes. So back to the question, like, what is a good, healthy boundary? It's when I'm upset. Well, when we're having a fight, I'm not going to scream, like, or something like, what's an example of some good boundaries?
Yeah, I think a good, healthy boundary is we always work as a team. Mm-hmm. Every problem that comes my way or your way, it's our way. Mm-hmm. That you always have my back first. Mm-hmm. You always say yes first to whatever I'm, and then we can talk about it. You know, there's the only reason to be married, frankly. Is that I feel like this one person, no matter what, at the end of the day, has my back.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Is there another thing?
So
really?
There's other things.
So
I mean, there's whatever. But yeah, there's,
thank you.
Right? Yeah. But you know what I mean? There's like
the only reason Penn's really? In a marriage. Yes. Yeah. So I guess that was my curiosity coming into this, because I think that so many people are using the term boundaries in a very different way.
Yes.
And so your boundaries, like you said, are to keep people keep your partner in, as opposed to putting a wall up that keeps your partner out. And so that's where I feel as if in my interaction with people who are using this term, it has not been used correctly. There's another issue. There's something else, and it doesn't mean that's not important. Yep. But if you're using a boundary to keep a partner out, you're missing an opportunity.
Yep.
Okay.
And let me use family here. Let's do even bigger, right? My mother always I had this with a client recently. Her mother always calls her to come help, and they're very close, all the family, right? She's adult, you know, with kids. The mother always calls her to help come over for Sunday and help clean up and help do things. And meanwhile, she has a sister that isn't married with no kids who never gets asked, right? And so what happens? I do these things for my mother, even though I don't want to. Mm-hmm. And even though I say no, but then she cajoles me and I go. So now I'm blaming her for me not keeping the boundary, right? Because I don't want to hurt her feelings and I don't want to make her upset and whatever. But I'm resentful and angry. That's not a loving relationship. That's not kind. Mm-mm. People think they're being nice. I talk about boundaries on a continuum of thin to thick. And what happens, here's the key to boundaries. Your boundaries should never change depending on how other people act. So if your kid is being nice all of a sudden, right? Like I had this with my son. He had a curfew of midnight when he was a senior in high school. And then, you know, he calls at 11 at night to say, can I stay out later? This is stupid, right? Like any parent knows, don't say yes. What came up at 11 at night? Now you want to be up later. But I was asleep and I was like, okay. And of course, then he didn't come home. I said till 1, he came home at 3. And then I was furious and I threw the book at him, right? The next day, you're grounded for life. I'm never speaking to you again. And I was very angry.
Right.
That is going from so I had a regular boundary, but Max was being a good boy and he had been keeping to his curfew. So I relaxed my boundary. And now he's like, oh, there's no, I don't have to respect the boundary. She didn't. Why do I? So he didn't. And then, right, so I got too thin with my boundary. I got too easy.
You relaxed it.
And then, because he was being good. And then I slammed the book on him because now he's bad. And this is what we do. We do this thing for our mom. You know, we go over and we help set up for dinner every Sunday and we're resentful and angry about it. And then we're like, I'm never going over there again. Screw that person, right? We unfollow them, we block them, we get so mad, we punish our children with a lifetime of no electronics. And we close the door because we get too thick. Because we don't trust ourselves to hold the boundary. I don't care if someone's mean to me, I don't suddenly get really mean because that's not my boundary. That's not who I am in the world. If someone's really nice to me, I don't suddenly go, yeah, come on over to my house here. You know, like it, your boundary shouldn't change. Doesn't matter if someone's nice. It doesn't matter if they're mean. Your boundary should stay the same.
So what's the official boundary then from, because this is probably, I would imagine, it doesn't exist in our case, but there is a child who feels like they're doing more of the work for the parent. What is the boundary there when she feels like she's being overutilized or, yeah, when her sibling is not.
I asked her, I said, what would make you happier in this family? She said, I don't want to go over anymore on Sundays. Like, oh, it's such a busy day for me and the kids, you know, and my husband, like, we have so much going on. We're getting ready for school the next day. I don't want to do Sunday dinners anymore. And I especially don't want to do them at their house. I said, all right, what do you need? She said, maybe we could go out to dinner where no one has to do anything. I was like, beautiful. So her boundary became, you know what? Sundays don't work anymore. They really don't. The kids, you know, are 4, 7, and 9. She has 3 kids. It's too much. I don't want to come over anymore on Sundays. If you'd like to do dinner occasionally, I would. Like, I would say once, maybe twice a month. If you'd like to do something else another time, we can talk about it, but I will no longer be coming on Sundays. And her mother became furious, didn't want to speak to her. How could you do this? This is the essence of the family. We've always had Sunday, you know, all the cajoling that people do. To quote unquote, make you feel guilty, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, okay, so it doesn't matter how your mom acts. It doesn't matter what she says. You're not a victim in your life. And most people treat themselves as victims in their lives. I can't help it. I can't change the relationship because my partner won't change. I can't do this because my mother gets upset. I can't do this because my wife gets upset. No, you don't change your boundary depending on how other people's reactions are about them, not you. And as long as you're saying what you're saying with a loving heart, that's your only job. Your job isn't to make people comfortable. It's to speak from a loving heart. That's it. Not in that like pushback, F you, you know, I'm out of here. And that's what she kept. And then you stop being resentful of mom. You stop feeling overwhelmed about a situation. You stop feeling powerless. You stop feeling like nothing's in your control, which is hard enough when you have 3 kids or 2 kids or 1 kid, you know, it feels like everything's out of control. So to be able to take control again of your life, that's what boundaries should. Boundaries, if you're not feeling empowered by it, then you're not doing it right. Mm-hmm. And if you don't feel loving by it, you're not doing it right.
I'm trying to imagine. I had the greatest dad of all time. He was our marriage counselor to start off. He was terrific.
Well, no, but to be clear, he just did the premarital, like the meeting personality test. Like we didn't do like marriage counseling.
No, he gave, he requires everyone who he marries to go through 1 counseling session with him. So, and I thought he did a fine job, but I can't imagine me trying to explain boundaries to him. I don't know if he would get that. So I empathize with this woman talking to her mother about it. So moving from that generation to our generation, where we're kind of learning about it a little bit, how do we teach the next generation, our kids, about boundaries?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm doing this right now, like with my teenagers, you know, they're late teens and going off to 4-year schools next year. And, you know, and I've talked a lot. My daughter has a friend who maybe wants to like room with her, wants to pick the same college and like room with her. And my daughter's like, you know, she wants to go off and have a new life, right? And I said, you have to draw a boundary with her. You have to let her know what the expectation will be. If she, you can't control her choosing the college you go to, you know, you can't control that, but you can control what the relationship looks like if she does that. And you can let her know now, which might impact her decision. And that's really hard for like a 17-year-old.
So right? Hard. Yeah.
And my daughter did it.
Good.
She told her. She said, you know, I love you and you're a good friend, but this is what I am going to do. And I'm not going to room with you. Like, I'm not going to be your best friend there. Do you know what I mean? Like that, yeah. I want to meet new people. Like, this is what I want to do. And I hope you do too. And it took a while, you know, we did some coaching together, but there's a great boundary.
Yeah.
Like, so that you don't go, what am I going to do? I'm a victim. She's just going to come and she's going to want to hang out with me all the time and I'm going to be screwed. Right.
Right.
But that's what people do because they don't want to hurt someone's feelings. They don't. And I was like, you can't control. She might have a very upset reaction. She might not. You can't control that. You have to let go of that. All you can do is know that you say it as lovingly as you can. Like, I love you. You know, I've loved our friendship and this is what it's going to look like at school for me.
Yeah.
So I just don't want you basing your decision on me and thinking we're going to be something else that we're not, because I want you to have a great experience, right? There's a lovely way to say that.
Mm-hmm. And there's probably ways to like set examples, like by, they're probably watching what we're doing.
They are. They are. And I will share, you know, my mom, my parents are both dead, but my mom was living till a few years ago and she was a true narcissist, not the way people throw it around, but was one. And thank God I made a lot of peace with her. So it was good when she died. But I had very, very strong boundaries with her because I needed to. So, and you don't have to tell anybody this is a boundary, by the way. Just with my mom, I didn't talk about anything personal because she would use it, right? So she'd say, how are you and Gary doing? And I'm like, we're great. Everything's good. And she's like, well, how are you really doing? It can't always be good. You know, she would throw out the, you know, the hook, right? And I was like, I don't know what to tell you. It's great. And then I would change the subject. I have a brother who's a little crazy. Well, I have two brothers. All my siblings are crazy. But anyway, this one brother, he likes to talk to me about things that politics I don't agree with and other things. And what I say every time is, you know what? I love you so much and there's so many things I want to talk to you about that I'm excited about in my life right now. This isn't one of them. And then I jump into the new topic.
That's a good way to deal with that.
It's like, boom, it's a magical thing. And I would do that with my mom too. You know, I would say, oh, there's so many things I want to talk about with you. This isn't one of them. And I would have at the ready, you know, like, oh my gosh, McCartney made the softball team, or, you know, Max hit a home run the other day, or, you know, I would just go off into something they wanted to talk about. So be mindful of what you share with people, because then I see this a lot where a couple is fighting and one person shares it with their family, or God forbid there was cheating or something else, and you share it with your family because you're so mad at your partner about whatever you were fighting about. But guess what? You forgive your partner and the family doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We learned that a long time ago.
Yep. Right?
Yeah.
You know. So to me, that would be a boundary I would set in the couple. You know, again, a social rule I would set in the couple, but to hold that for yourself, right? I don't talk to my family about personal things because it can kind of come back. But by the way, people would often ask me, like, why don't you just cut your mother off? You know, like, why'd you stay in a relationship? It was a difficult relationship. And I said, because my kids are watching. And first of all, I want to have peace with my mother for myself. That's actually the top reason. But the second reason was, I know my children are watching. And I don't want my kids to ever think it's okay to cut me off, you know, because I'm acting in a way that maybe they don't like. Like, that's not one of the options. We find ways to forge relationship with the people that are important in our lives. We just have boundaries.
Yeah.
We figure out how we can manage it.
Can I tell you something crazy? I'm just realizing, like, a bunch of my friends are really good at this.
Tell me.
They just say, like, maybe with guys, you just kind of, you figure it out. And who's like, there's a buddy of mine who's like, yeah, I don't ever do things with money with friends or family, or like.
Oh yeah, he's very good about that.
But he's got a bunch of these boundaries, and none of them are offensive, abrasive, like anything. It's like, oh, that's the deal. Let's move on. Yeah. And he's widely regarded as like one of the nicest guys out there. So there's a way to do this, and not tick off your college roommate, or which it sounds like she didn't. And there was.
I tell you what it is?
What?
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
Between men and women too. That's so
okay.
Different.
I was going to ask about that, but yeah.
Uh-huh. Cause women we're trained to please, and we're trained to really be in touch with other people's emotions and how they're doing. So there's this amazing research that shows that by Timothy Wilson, but anyway, so our brains process information at a rate of 40 bits per second. Our conscious brain, consciously we're processing at 40 bits per second. Our subconscious processes information at a rate of 11 million bits So people don't hear what you say. They hear what you mean. Mm-hmm. So when your friend, when a man often says something like that, it's congruent. He feels totally fine about it. He's not worried about hurting people's feelings. He feels very confident about the decision. He doesn't feel guilty about it. And he's saying it anyway, right? But when a woman sometime often can set a boundary, they feel bad. They're doing this. Like, sorry.
I actually don't. Like,
And so guess what? The other people pick up on that. That they're not hearing your words. They're hearing your meaning. And this is over Zoom, and this is over the phone, and this is by, I'm just telling you, the energy is a powerful thing. And so the subconscious is picking that up going, well, there's something not congruent there. Let me push. Like, they don't believe it. Why should I? That's the difference. And it's a huge one often. And there's not, it's not that there aren't women who can do this easily. I think at this point in my life, I'm pretty good at it. Although I still get like, I have to get myself, you know, sort of in line, even with all the training I've had, all the therapy I've done, all the things I know, I still, people pleasing is still a very, again, men do it too, but women really do it. Women, it's diagnosable.
I there was a common friend in this friend group who was starting a business and was looking for investors, you know, and it's a very small level. And our good friend said, you know what? We just have, we don't deal with money business with friends or family. We just don't. And I was like, it's not a good time. And I don't,
you know what? I'm going to give you some money.
And I was like, no, I didn't. I'm just joking. But I was like, I just feel like same thing. But by the way, we have that same rule. Like we, so what I'm hearing also, I like what you said, kind of just like a social rule. So is the term boundary kind of interchangeable with kind of like a social rule?
It isn't really.
Okay.
It's social rules are social rules.
Yeah.
It's sometimes a little interchangeable, sure. But the boundary is, what the boundary is, I listen to myself. And if I want to really do something, I do it. And if I don't, I don't. That's really the boundary that a person is having. It's not, I don't do things to please other people is a great boundary. Okay. It doesn't mean you don't nurture, that you're not a nurturing person, but that, or I don't put other people's needs in front of my own could be a boundary. And then you filter through requests through that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like now I'm filtering through a request through that thing, which becomes maybe a boundary or a kind of a social norm, you know, a way that I'm norming my life. I want to say this about boundaries too. Never justify them ever, because that's where that 11 million bits get picked up, right? The tentativeness. No is a complete sentence, as we know, right? Many people have said that. And so when you start explaining why, well, I can't come over on Sunday because this is going on and my kids are this and that's happening. You know, the other person's like, oh, we have a place for your kid to nap in the house. And, oh, why don't you just, it's only Wednesday. Why don't you do all that stuff before Sunday so you can come for dinner, right? They'll problem solve it for you. So the answer is just, no, I don't come over on Sundays anymore and leaving it. And that is something I've become more masterful at. It's a skill. All of this is skills. I want to tell everybody this. No one's born with boundaries. No one has them, you know. It's a skill you learn, and like any other skill, you get better the more you do it, right? The more you do it, the better you get. And so I've become very good at, you know, the mother at school asking me to take part in the auction and my going, you know, no, I really can't.
Done.
Oh, well, what do you mean you can't? I said, yeah, I just can't. I don't tell her it's because I'm getting my nails done, because that's going to go over well. Like, they're going to really talk right. about me, right? I don't tell her it's because of whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm filtering it through with my timing. And sometimes I'll say, you know what? If I had more notice next year, like, could you put me in something like a reminder in August about it? And I could then look and really make time.
And get my manicurist really buttoned up and change.
Really buttoned in?
There are some people who really struggle with this. My mother was one of them. She lived in the age of a lot of telemarketer calls. And she did not know how to say no to people. And so she'd be like, oh, tell me a little bit more about this. And then hang up on them like every single time. Yeah, it's not good. But I'm only saying this to say that you've mastered it. I imagine that is a high degree of difficulty. That's a 4.0 dive in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Just to simply really say no.
And that's why people will just cut people off, because it's so uncomfortable. We don't have that skill of being in the presence of someone when it's uncomfortable and just allowing the feelings to happen. And for someone to say, wow, that really pisses me off that you're saying no, and go, yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's done. Yeah. Then the conversation's done. I have to say, I'm getting better. I was sitting here thinking, with my relationship with Penn, we have very few, I think, the work talk. What are some other things?
Well, I have this law of 150 that I believe in. We were just talking about you do everything, I do nothing. Mm-hmm. I believe that if you experimented on humans and you gave them exactly half of the things to do, but in like different rooms, and then you came back together and looked at what happened, you would both think that you did 75% of the work. So it always adds up to 150% when there's really only 100%. I think that's just human nature, and that's tough.
Right. No, by the way, Penn does a lot. So when I say I do everything, you do nothing,
it's just
like, yeah, but Penn does a lot. I do think I have some boundaries around my extended family. That I'm getting better at.
And one of my boundaries is not to chime in on this part. So I'm going to lay
and
out.
We've also learned that like I can,
my mic's over there.
I can talk in a way that suits me about my extended family. And Penn just goes, tell me about that.
That's a common boundary, right? Like you can talk about your extended family, but your spouse really should like lay out on that one, right?
Yeah.
Lay it out.
Again, if you take the no sack rule, don't offer suggestions, give advice, or criticize. If you just live by that in your life and just ask questions, it goes so far.
There's a lot of families that would have very little conversation because all they do is...
I'm afraid so
like,
not.
But she's like sacking out and I'm like, I don't want to join in on sacking.
I don't talk my family.
You don't talk to your family. Everybody does. It's okay.
I just did.
but yes. Okay. Well, we've taken your time and we got our free therapy. So we really appreciate you. Tell us where people who are listening, where can they find you, your podcast, all your socials? Tell us all that.
Yep. All of that, I'm sure you'll link it in your show notes and everything. But really, abbymedcalf.com, and that's with a D, abbymedcalf.com. Everything is there. So the new book, Boundaries Made Easy. And you know, it's called Your Roadmap to Connection, Ease, and Joy, because that's how boundaries should make you feel at the other side.
Like
that's what's there, just for the record. And you know, my other books and my social, everything is there. And the podcast Relationships Made Easy, which we're in like 180 countries now. I don't even know how it happened, because I started it as a little give millions of downloads ago, and now it's the thing. But it's research-based information, very practical tools. I give it away because I want to.
Yeah, and it's a great listen, so everybody check it out. Thank you.
Thanks for the free therapy.
Thank you for the free therapy.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
I know. I really appreciate it. Okay. Thank you to Dr. Abby Medcalf. You feel good about this, Penn? You feel like you can put some boundaries in place?
Yeah, I don't really need a ton of them, but I just need to know what the heck they are. I'm so glad we finally got to that. I think I'm glad that she helped us build up the building blocks, really, before we understood what it was.
Yeah. So the building blocks, and like, so it's from what I'm interpreting it as, and she might correct me, it's going to be a standard I have for myself. Like, I need to be respected. I need to have love and connection.
It's done out of love and not out of spite.
But the way I want to feel in the world and walk through the world is in relationships that offer love and connection and respect.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
And things that don't fit into that, I am going to stay away from. So if that's a relationship, a place, a person, and not in a really salty, terrible way, it's out of love to keep people in. So that was, I got some big takeaways, like boundaries are to keep people in, not to keep people out. And I'm just going to be, yeah, I like it. Thank you to Dr. Abby Medcalf. And thank you, Penn.
What'd I do?
I do think the whole like cleaning thing, I do think you love and respect me.
Yeah.
I think my kids, though, I lost my ish the other day with them.
Yeah.
So I need to figure out boundaries with them and what that looks like. Anyway, love you guys.
Love you.
Okay. Bye.